Well, here we are in a new millennium. I've got used to writing 2000 on the letters, well, sort of. And the funny part about it is, when you come into the new millennium, it's just about the same as the old one in a way, isn't it? And yet it's not really. The wonderful part about starting a new year and a new millennium is it gives us time to take stock. You say, what is life really all about? Have I got it right? Am I sure that I've got it right? It could be time to make a fresh start. I want to have a look at a part of the Bible which I think summarizes the whole deal about life and about us and about God himself. It's a well-known part of the Bible, but it, for all that, is surprising and reassuring. Let me read it to you. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everybody who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. It is, of course, John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. But it is, for me, full of surprises. The first surprise is this: God loves the world. Well, does that surprise you? It surprises me. I don't think the world's all that much lovable. I was 15 when the Second World War ended. Those of you who are as old as I am will remember all that nonsense about how this was a war to end all wars. And the nonsense was, I really believed it. And since then, we've never had peace all over the world, not for a minute. I just think of Northern Ireland, Rwanda, I think of Chechnya, of Bosnia. I think of 6 million through the gas chamber and how many other millions under Stalin in Russia. It's not really all that lovable, the world, do you think? How can God love the world like that? Well, he just can't help himself. That's the sort of person he is. He just loves and loves, and he can't help loving. I got attacked by a young man in the train last year. That's a fairly scary event, I can tell you that. Well, I find it really hard to think of God loving the world, messed up and all as it is. And you know, it's not only them out there. But every now and again, I don't think I'm all that lovable. I say things which I wish I hadn't said. And sometimes I say things that are wrong and I'm glad I've said them. And sometimes I do things that are not all that lovable. And when you look at yourself and you look at the world at large, you can't help but say, hey, something really has gone radically wrong. What has gone so wrong that we can't live happily with each other? And the Bible says the root cause of it all is that we have said no to God as God. It isn't that we don't believe he's there. We just don't want him to be God over us. And we edge him away from the central place of our life. He's like a footnote at the bottom of the page, instead of being the big illustration that fills up the whole page. We just don't want him to tell us how to live. And our track record shows that we can mess it up on a high scale. And still, God loves us. Isn't that a surprise? Well, let me tell you what the second surprise is. I'll read the verse again. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, Did you know that? That God only has one Son. And that he allowed that one and only Son to die. To die and take the punishment which our sins deserved. Isn't that a surprise? I grew up knowing that Jesus had died on the cross. Why, in the church I used to pass on the way to school, there was a statue of Jesus on the cross. The only thing is, I didn't know it had anything to do with me. How could the man on the cross 2,000 years ago have anything to do with me? And it came as a great surprise for me to discover that God had sent his Son into the world, allowed him to take the punishment which my sin deserved from pushing God away and treating other people badly. Jesus took the punishment so that we could be forgiven and come back, start again, make a fresh start, and be friends with God. Did you know that? Well, that was a genuine surprise to me. I wonder if, as you're listening to the tape right now, you could try and, in your mind's eye, just imagine Jesus on the cross. You've seen paintings of him. Might be in a stained glass window, or like me, a statue outside the church. You remember Jesus on the cross? A thief on either side? Roman soldiers round the bottom? Mary and a few disciples further away? And suddenly Jesus begins to speak. My God, why have you forsaken me? You say, hold on. What's going on here? Isn't he the Son of God? How can he be God forsaken? It's a terrible cry. And the Bible says this, that Jesus, who was without sin, took the punishment our sins deserved so that we could become right with God. That's a bit of a surprise, don't you think? It's full of surprises. God loves the world. God gave his only Son. Well, let me tell you where I think the third surprise is. I'll read the verse. God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that whoever trusts him will not perish, but have eternal life. Here's the biggest surprise of all. The way to get right with God is to trust him when he says he'll forgive us because of Jesus. When I grew up, I thought God kept a sort of a book on everybody. Like a sort of a moral cash book. Good things on one page, bad things on the other. And when you snuffed it in the end, they drew a line along the bottom. And whichever column was in front, you went in, out, up, down, depending on your track record. It's not like that at all. Isn't that a turn up? It doesn't say, whoever lives a good life will not perish. Whoever goes to church regularly and leads a good life will not perish. It says, whoever trusts God. About the death of Jesus, really. God's saying, trust me. Trust me. I will forgive you because of Jesus. You can make a fresh start. You could start again in friendship with me. Well, that's a surprise, isn't it? Trust me. Well, listen to the next surprise. He will not perish, or she will not perish. Who? Whoever trusts him. Isn't everybody going to die? Yes, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about dying. He's talking about what's going to happen to you after death. And there's a surprise, because he is talking about perishing after death. I suppose we'd have called it hell. That's pretty unfashionable now. Pretty everybody's stopped believing in it. But God hasn't. He says, if you trust me, that will not be your destiny. And I assume, conversely, that if you don't trust him, it will be our destiny. However, God's got better things in store. He says, whoever trusts me will not perish, but will have eternal life. Not just life that goes on and on and on, because that could be dreadful, but a God quality of life. Friendship with God. Knowing that your future is secure in the hands of a God who loves and loves and loves, that will not only be a reality now in this life, but it will go on beyond the grave forever. Well, that's very reassuring, I think. And when I look at my life and I say, do you know what life is about? It's basically about being friends with God and learning to live like that. Do you know about that? Or would a fresh start be helpful for you? I'm going to pray a prayer. It's the prayer I'd pray if I wanted to make a fresh start. And you might like to echo it inside your own head to God. Here it is. Heavenly Father, I haven't been treating you as God. I'm sorry about that. But from today onwards, that's what I want to happen. Please, take over the running of my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me. Please give me eternal life. Amen. You know, this might surprise you too. If you prayed the prayer and you meant it, you can be sure that God's heard your prayer and answered you. You have made a fresh start. Let me tell you a good way to go on. Find your Bible, or buy one. Go to the New Testament and start reading about Jesus. I'd read Matthew's Gospel, or Mark, or Luke, or John. Look them up in the index and start there. Read a bit of it every day so you'll get to know the person you've become friends with. If you're not in the habit of praying, I'd certainly start that too. Don't worry about them being formal. Just talk to God like you would with a friend. Share good things. Share difficult things. I'd look for a church too, where they believe the Bible is the Word of God, so they can teach it to you properly. And I hope this year is the best year of your life.